Good morning. It was almost a year ago that my wife Mary was driving to work. And as she was driving, she was stopped by a police officer and told her that her license plate had expired. It had expired in February, and this was November. And Mary said, "Oh my gosh, we were so, at that time in our lives, we were so taken with Mary's dad's health, his declining health. Our lives became just busy and full." And Mary shared that with the police officer. And he was very kind. He said, just see if you can take care of it. Just get the car inspected. And you can go online and get the thing registered and all that. So Mary said, "Thanks a lot." And she came home that day and she said, "I'm so embarrassed that we just missed this, you know." So we took care of it in November. Then this past February, I was picking up the mail in our mailbox, and I'm coming up our driveway, and I noticed that Mary's car's registration had expired. And I said to Mary, "It's expired." She says, "I feel like we just took care of this in November, but it was actually in February that it's..." So this was in the midst of Mary's dad. We're preparing to have him move to assisted living, and it was just an incredibly busy time in our lives. And even just getting the car inspected, I said to Mary, "Well, I got a bunch of Zoom..." This is, we're entering into some challenging times, and I said, "I have some meetings today, and maybe tomorrow we can get the car inspected," which did that. Then you mail in the little card, and we got everything back in about a week or so. So I got the registration in the mail, and I'm bringing it up the driveway, and I was about to go to some things I needed to do that day, and Mary was in the middle of a meeting, and so I took the registration and threw it in Mary's front seat in the passenger side. So I said to Mary, "Well, just know it arrived. It's on the front seat, So if you do get stopped, you can say, 'Hey, look, I have it. I just haven't put it on yet.'" And it took us a couple days to put that little tag on the license plate. That ever happened to you? Yeah, it's, and Mary said, "I'm just so embarrassed. How did we miss this?" The feeling was more one of embarrassment than anything else. I want to share a story with you, another experience this past week with the verdict of Derek Chauvin. Many leaders issued statements. One of the statements was from Bishop Jennifer Baskerville Burroughs, the Bishop of the Diocese of Indianapolis. I want to share this story with you. It was actually in my letter I sent out this past week. And this may be something to hear. Let me share this with you. She wrote, "Last Sunday, during my visitation at St. Paul's in Indianapolis, one of the saints in that congregation asked me how I was doing during these long days in which the deaths of black and brown people at the hands of police are a daily news story." Bishop Baskerville Burroughs, by the way, is African American. She said, "Now that Derek Chauvin has been found guilty in all counts for the murder of George Floyd, I want to tell you how I answered that question." She writes, "One day, shortly before the trial began, I realized that in the busyness of the last few months, I had let my license plates expire. It put the fear of God into me. As soon as I realized what I had done, I immediately rearranged my day to get to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. On the way, I had to explain to my 10-year-old son why I was shaking as I was driving and why we had to go right then, urgently, with no delays. And then a few days later, fueled by the dread that every black mother carries in her heart, I talked with my son again. I told him that in just a few years, when he learns to drive, he must never, ever, for any reason, let his tags expire. And I told him why. My soul is still in anguish at the need to warn my son against what awaits him in the world. This trial has been a very personal issue for me and for many other black people. I wish it weren't. I'm relieved that Derek Chauvin has been held accountable for the murder of George Floyd, but accountability is not the same thing as justice and will not bring George Floyd back to those who loved him. Tonight, fresh with the verdict, with relief at the verdict, I'm aware of my deep longing for true justice, the kind that becomes possible when people like us promise to stand with the vulnerable and marginalized to transform systems of injustice. When we do that, we are committing ourselves to creating a world in which young men can learn to drive without their mothers fearing for their lives. When you dedicate yourself to this work, you mean that you want your bishop to be able to drive to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles without panic, even on expired tags. When we stand together as beacons of Christ, we are saying that we want communities in which the public safety systems protect the lives of all God's people, and which we no longer need to learn the names of those who have been taken from us by police. In the days to come, many of you will want to show up and stand in solidarity with our allies. I pray that you do so peacefully, with hearts bent on justice and mercy, and with your eyes on the beloved community we long to be. I share that with you because for many of us sitting here, that may be a story that we don't experience. We may be more familiar with the experience that I shared than Mary and I had. And we struggle now as in our country, in our society. I want to share something with you today as we gather, as I struggle with this. I am the grandson of a police officer. My grandfather, my father's father, was a Westchester County Parkway police officer. For those of you from New York, may be familiar with that department. He loved what he did. He saw it as service to the community. He was an incredible guy. He died when I was very, very young. Unfortunately, I didn't get to know him as well as I would like to have. He fought in World War I. He walked away from that war with a piece of shrapnel still in his body. And when the Second World War began, my father, a 17-year-old, almost 18, went to sign up. He went with him, my grandfather. He wanted to go too. He saw that as service to his country and his community. Of course, he was turned down. He was his age, and he had this piece of shrapnel in him. I won't tell you where it was, but that used to be jokes about that. He found meaning in what he did, and he saw it as service. I think that was translated into my father's life. My father saw himself as he did many things in the community, many things in our neighborhood, in our church. And I can see that connectedness. I wonder sometimes if my standing here as a priest is part of that sense of being of service to the community in whatever way or shape or form we take that. So that had a great impact on my life. Whenever I saw a police officer, I felt safe. I felt secure. I felt they were there to protect. In my former parish, St. Stephen's in Pearl River, New York. I was there for 7.5 years before I came here to St. Paul's. That was a community predominantly composed of New York City police officers and New York City firefighters. We're only about 25 minutes from Manhattan, where I was, my former parish. Got to know many of them. Got to sit down with police officers. Had a few beers with them, got to know their families in the community. They would share with me their struggles, their challenges, difficulties of their work. I remember sitting and sharing those stories with them. I remember spouses of the police officers sharing with me at times what it's like to have a spouse who goes to work and has to carry a gun. The fear of whether they'll return at the end of the day. In 9/11, it was many of those police officers from Pearl River and firefighters from Pearl River who, when everyone was coming down those towers, they were going up to serve, to rescue, to help, to make a difference. Some of them never came home to Pearl River that day. I was there for some of those funerals. How did we get to where we are? How do we get here? And what do we do moving forward? I struggle with that. The sin of racism is woven into our culture. It's woven into our society. It's woven into law enforcement. It's woven into our justice system. It's woven into the church. It's woven into our schools. It's woven into everywhere we are. But if we can see that and face that and work in ways to change that, not just to seek forgiveness for sins of the past, but to seek forgiveness and amendment of life. Sometimes we forget when we seek healing, we also seek a change, a transformation in our lives. And that's the work that's before us. That's the work that we need to do as a people. As Bishop Curry said this past week, the verdict of Derek Chauvin was a step in a long journey. A journey that I know I'm committed to as I begin to reflect on my own life. Simply to realize that when a tag expires on our car, it's a lot different for some when it expires on their car. And how do we hear each other's stories? Not only hear them, but listen to them and take them in and build relationships going forward. The story that Bishop Baskerville Burroughs shares as a mom talking to her son is not limited to Indianapolis. It's a story I've heard here in Cary. Moms and dads, African-American moms and dads, have had to sit down with their son and tell them what to do and not to do if they're ever pulled over. We need to hear that. It may be difficult to hear. It may be challenging to hear. But today we gather on this Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we are the sheep. We are that flock. We are one sheepfold. And yet in our day-to-day lives, perhaps we're not. How do we live into that? How do we find Jesus as our shepherd for all? A sheepfold where, as I said during my Easter homily, we all belong to each other. No exceptions. We all belong to each other. No exceptions. And where there are exceptions, we have to stand up and fight that. We have to fight the racism that is so pervasive in our culture and our society. I want to end with a quote from Bishop Rob Wright of the Diocese of Atlanta. Someone I really admire. I got to know him a little bit back in 2012 when we were in a discernment process together. And he and his wife and my wife Mary and I spent quite a bit of time with them for a while back then. And he's just an incredibly gifted priest, now bishop, and leader, and I admire him greatly. And he wrote this, which to me invites us to continue to work, continue the work that is before us, continue the healing, continue the process of reconciliation, continue fighting for justice and equity. It's a long journey. Bishop Wright writes, "This evening, we have learned that former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of every charge in the death of George Floyd. If this is a victory, it is a victory for the role of law in affirming human dignity. If it is a victory, it is a victory for the countless law enforcement officers who embrace accountability and who practice appropriate use of force as they protect and serve without prejudice. Still, justice requires more than sending one man to prison. Justice requires us to acknowledge and change the fact that Black, Brown, and poor Americans are often treated differently than other Americans, particularly in encounters with law enforcement and the criminal justice system. So today's verdict does not signal the end of our work for equity and justice, but rather confirms that to fight for equity and justice is the right fight to be in. I pray that on this Feast of the Good Shepherd, we may hear the call. Hear the call to be one sheepfold, one flock together, knowing that we are all caring for each other, that we belong to each other. No matter where we are in this conversation, wherever we are, whether Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, libertarian, wherever we are in that spectrum, we need to fight to change and transform what is present among us as we go forth as a faithful people following the call of Jesus, the Good Shepherd.